Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
polyribosomes. They're actually a type of ribosome system. Ribosome system that I've just discovered inside the cells inside your body. So you're made up of 37 trillion life forms which have living together in a cooperative colony which is called your own body. And they cooperate to do various things. Most of them sacrifice, some actually produce sperm. So all your cells are like on this spaceship which is eventually going to die, and most of your cells die all the time. And so that's you yourself, and there's this new thing in the cells called the polyribosome. So I want to talk about that. Now what I'm doing is speaking to you as I'm driving home from Springwood, so this has to be a relatively quick thing. I've just dropped my daughter off and I'll go up there. So, just to put you in context, I'm just pumping out the podcast, slowly improving day by day, hopefully in podcasting to get on top of cognitive decline post-operation. That's enough said. 37, so there's possibly a trillion, 2 trillion stars in our galaxy. 37, you've got that much many more cells in the body. So most of the cells are pretty small, and there's actually a problem actually trying to count the cells. So each cell, essentially, if it's not sort of long and complicated, can actually, and if it's ball-like, it can actually shrink itself up. I'm just crossing this level crossing, make sure I don't get killed here. This would be rather amusing to you. Okay, here, coming through here. Yeah, so each of these cells, if they are round, can actually say, okay, coming up here, an amber light, I'm on my way home. I never thought I'd be such an aggressive driver. Okay, that being said, so your cell is actually a little bag of fluid. So it's got a membrane, a bag surface, and inside it is fluid. And inside the fluid is almost a jelly. It's cytoskeletons. These are needles of tubes which go inside, and there's a whole lot of structures all built inside it. But at a particular point, the cell's doing its stuff. It stops doing itself stuff, and it starts making twice of everything inside it, doubling it up, and then it then pinches in two and forms two cells, and then that's cell reproduction. And so that entire mechanism and differentiation is your entire cell mechanism. Now, inside the center of the cell, so cells themselves can be quite simple, and that's all life is cell-based. So all life is by definition reproduction, and the only way we have of reproduction is a sort of little test tube which builds up two of itself and then breaks it in two, pinches it off in two. So you imagine you've made your test tube of life. What the test tube of life does is it says it's about to make two test tubes. What it does is it makes two of everything and then pinches off the test tube and makes two test tubes. So it's, you are just this all this fantastic thing of life. Okay, I was wondering, that's a bit better. So I was in the wrong gear. Okay, that all being said, so you have something inside your so there's your archaic cells, bacteria, and then the archaic cells ate bacteria came to tea and began to live as parasites inside the archaic cells, the original cells, the extremophiles, and it made these cells were now able to live in the world created by bacteria with heaps of oxygen. And it just means that your cell is just this population, a mad family of different bacteria inside it. This is without a lie true. And before archaic cells have the DNA just floating all around the place, bacteria have DNA floating around the place, but your cell, most of the DNA exists inside a little bacterial nodule called a nucleus. Now, nucleus is like a disco ball full of portholes to allow things out, and inside it, it's got DNA. Now, DNA is this pretty amazing thing in that dry DNA absorbs water like all hell, and absorbing water in all hell, it expands. It's sort of like expanding jelly. So I don't know if you've ever had those little polyacetate things, put them in and they just swell. And so what happens is that your DNA swells and each fiber is pushed away from each other, having water in the in there. And this means that your DNA, if you imagine DNA fiber, it repels other DNA fiber. And so your DNA, when it's operating, swells and expands and doesn't tangle, well, because it pushes itself up. And so there's a pressure inside your nucleus. So if you break the nucleus, the DNA will go plop about the place. And then if the DNA actually makes some RNA, the RNA is also repelled from here, and that will just snake its way out of the nucleus and get fired out of the tubes there. So it's sort of understanding the molecular repulsion that DNA fights, it hates itself, and therefore it's sort of like this, you know, you're got a small family of who are visiting this restaurant, and they hate each other, so they sit at different tables to keep away. So that's your DNA. This is again understanding the molecular attraction and all the polarization of water and how it interacts. Now, of course, when it's ready to reproduce, it all comes up with sort of like pegs or spindles. And these just get mass-produced, thrown in the DNA, and the DNA coils up. And you see that DNA as you would see in the classic picture of DNA, and that's just really like an instant. So how can I describe it? It's like most of the time the DNA is like a teenager's bedroom, or it's all spread out absolutely everywhere, just a complete dog's breakfast of it. It's just insane. And then quick, we've got to go out now, we've got to go to a party, and we've got to move next door. And then what happens is it all packs everything up, gets nice and neat, everything together. And then the magic fairy godmother comes in, there's two of them, and then one says bye, cheerio, and one copy of DNA goes away. And in that process, is we take a snapshot just at the moment they're shaking hands to go their separate ways. So most of the time it's a complete dog's breakfast. It's sort of like, oh, I don't know, seeing a meal being prepared, and it's all rubbish all over the kitchen, and then it's meal time and you take that snap there. And so, and when you do take the snap, you can see things arranged in meals. It's very good. Now, what I want to talk about is the DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid. Now, if you have a ribonucleic acid with the extra OHs in them, two extra OHs, it can't coil. It's just completely rubbishy. And the great thing about it can't coil is that it can be folded up. And so that's your RNA, and your RNA. Is built slightly differently, and the RNA can be built from templates from your DNA. So your DNA produces RNA, and RNA does heaps of different things. One is it's mRNA. So mRNA contains the information to make proteins, the protein sequence of it. There's tRNA, which is folded up as a little thing to actually bring the amino acids one by one into the rRNA, which is the ribosome RNA, and so this all goes together. And so you sort of know that the protein synthesis, this is making proteins out of amino acids, is done by RNA outside. And basically, the RNA is stuck on this membrane, So if you can imagine a membrane which is all crushed in together, and this membrane I've just discovered is a bit more sophisticated. It's got tubes inside it, and it just blows you away. It's all the process there, and this is the membrane where the RNA was static on the membrane, and the mRNA would come up, go through, feed through it, and with the tRNA manufacture your protein. And that's where I thought things stuck. I just picked up the endoplasmic reticulum, that is bloody big folded piece of tar. So what happens is that you set out all your little machines on the tarp on your backyard. Quick, mum's coming home, and it all gets folded up, all crammed together and shoved in the back room, which is inside the cell. So if you open your cell, you can flatten out the reticulum. The reticulum has a smooth bit, but then it's got these little ions of RNA and rRNA, and that makes the protein. Now, what was a bit of an eye-opener for me is this RNA, polyribosomes, and sort of what the bloody heck. And this is really using the DNA technology to make RNA, using an analog of it from the RNA to make proteins directly. So these are strings for making huge numbers of proteins faster than you ever knew. Now, the bottom line is that I didn't know about this. And you cannot know about it, you cannot teach about it, because this requires dynamics and requires things to do things. And to do things, it requires ATP, and every time the proteins move together, RNA moves together and does things, it's responding to charges being put into it. So if you've got a frog leg, and you can animate your frog by applying electrodes to it, so the little nanomachines inside your cell are just been hit with electricity from the ATP all the time, and it's moving, and we're getting home pretty quickly. So there's this reason why people don't describe. There's a lot of biology that people say, oh, I haven't heard of it, so stuff you. I'm not going to tell any of my class. I'm going to insist that the education level is lowered to what it was 30 years ago. But let's say, the problem is that as you go through this, you say, oh, you start learning new things. So what happens is there's this strand of mRNA, and it's hooked at two points. So it's not the DNA, it's mRNA, and it has ribosomes which go onto the RNA, free-floating ribosomes which go onto the RNA, and the ribosomes move, rather than the mRNA, the ribosomes move up, and as they move across, they string off proteins. So what that means is that rather than stuffing around finding your mRNA and hoping it gets into it, and most of the time the ribosome isn't working, the ribosome now becomes a mobile machine, a mobile protein producing machine. And what this means is that the mRNA can actually be run overkill. It can run the entire time and at really high speed with the mobile ribosome. So a ribosome is two bits of ribosomic RNA. So RNA without the actual oxygen in it, which is no lot deoxygenated, it has difficulty forming shapes, which means it's ideal because you can actually build little basic machines out of RNA. And this is incredible as it is. And these machines can produce proteins. And now, the big news, I suppose, as I'm coming home now, is that I used to understand the ribosomes as these fixed things, and indeed a lot of them are fixed, but there is this new branch of it which basically repeats the process of like the DNA is in place, and the DNA gets in place, and it's got little tags, and chemicals then activate bits of the DNA to say start producing copies of RNA, and that RNA goes out. And the, traditionally, the RNA was a component as a piece of feed tape in a standard machine, like a robot code. The machine RNA would program the ribosomes, the static little ribosomes over there, and the ribosomes would just sit there on a shelf. They wouldn't be free floating. However, we're in for a big surprise now. I don't know how long I've had this. So I was just going, oh God, I'm going to have to go back, because I must admit, I haven't fully remembered, understood the various processes with nerve transition. So a nerve transition is sort of like the biggest, most impressive thing to acquire, to try and understand. And so, you know, I wanted to go back, and then I read this and I say, oh, I've got more to learn. Now, the interesting thing is, with so many areas of science, the frontline stuff, which is the front stuff that we serve, is rubbish. So a lot of the quantum physics, a lot of the physics is rubbish. You know, it's just clearly gaga, and the spin and various things like that. And then a lot of the biology is clearly gaga. And there's this process of, you know, it's really complicated to understand. You probably can't understand it, but there are bits now, sort of a different policy of rather being safe and secure, I will teach the biology from 40 years ago. That can't be wrong. Well, unfortunately, guys, a lot of the stuff from 40 years ago is wrong, or it clearly shows a distinct lack of imagination or distinct lack of curiosity. So people are used to drawing. So this is sort of like the DNA producing RNA, and the RNA producing proteins, is, and then the proteins being transported. But this is animation, DreamWorks, incredible. Except people were content with a, if you'd like, an Egyptian hieroglyph story of the cell. And I suppose the major thing is that looking at the way that people have previously described cells, it's very very static, very boring, not full of wonder and curiosity, because you don't want wonder and curiosity, you want the answer. So if you want someone to produce an answer, you want something which is secure, bound, it's got all these properties to mean that a person at a certain level can study it, produce something, and put it on the page. Of course, the real life is not like that. And for me, it's always this series of discovery. So the discovery this time is the polyribosomes, which is basically the structure that it lives on. Is not a structure to transport things from. It is, the structure is the information structure, and the ribosomes go around and circle through it. Now, this is the operation of a cell is amazing, and the fact that a cell could be damaged by radiation and repair itself is just, you know, this, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. So I'll get this off to you, and I hope I'm now back at Glenbrook, having driven from Springwood. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see. I may see if I can do a few more podcasts tonight. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others.
Thanks for listening.